This is Believing Buckeyes with Brian Brownie and Chimdy Chukwu. We got a great one for you guys today. Camp is over. Camp is over. We had a big press conference from our leaders, offensive head coach, defense coach. So we're going to dive into that and say our opinion. And once again, this is Believing Buckeyes. Chimdy, going to kick us off with the ad.
Yeah, let me hit you with the Bet Online. So Bet Online is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting, your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Yes, and if you have any issues with gambling, feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER. They're there 24/7 to assist you if you have any problems in that area. But like I say, camp is over, and so today, Coach Day and Coach Jim Knowles met with the press. They met with him for a while. Essentially, at the end of camp, obviously, you know, we still got a couple weekends. I think we got like 12 days until the first game. But at the end of camp, you just kind of want to, you know, go over things. You know, we had a lot of competition in a lot of areas. What did we see? Did we make any decisions? Did we not make any decisions? And we got all those things from Coach Day today. And also Jim Knowles spoke on that as well. So first off, let's kind of name off things so we can kind of say where things are at. Our last several shows was about a lot of competition. So first off, at the quarterback position, no decision was made. Coach Day stated that both Devin Brown and Kyle McCord are still in that position of fighting for that starter spot, and they would take that till week one. So that's what he stated in case, you know, unless something happens. On the offensive line, we had a lot of competition around the offensive tackle position. So at the left tackle position, the number one guy off the bench, the guy we'll see out there first is most likely at this time, Jimmy Simmons. That's a transfer coming in out of San Diego State. A lot of experience playing on the right side of the ball. But as we spoke about last episode, we saw him at the left side. He's looked very comfortable there. He'll be the number one guy there. At the center position, Carson Hinsman will be the first guy off the bench. Coach Day did kind of state there's a little bit of competition still going on between him and Victor Cutler. But right now, it's Hinsman's position to lose. And at the right tackle position, they're going with Josh Fryer. That's the most experienced guy when it comes to the tackle position for Ohio State. He solidified that right tackle position, so we most likely will see him at that spot. We also had some competition around the defensive backs, and really Coach Knowles spoke about that. All he really wanted to say when it came to the safeties was that Sonny Styles had done enough to earn that starter spot. He called it, basically he said, he'd think of a name for the role, but more or less kind of like a Sam linebacker, strong safety type of role there. Called him maybe he'd go with the name Striker. Latham Ransom also solidified his spot as well. Still competition at that third safety spot that Jim Knowles having his defense between Jahai Carter, who I guess has been facing injuries in camp, Josh Proctor, and Malik Harrison. He did have very positive things to say about Malik Harrison, speaking about his presence being on the field and what he brought there from that position. But that's what how the competition kind of laid out of camp. Obviously, a lot of other positions, there's a lot of depth there. But those are the ones we want to kind of highlight because that's what we've been kind of tracking throughout this camp.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you look at it, I think from Jim Knowles' standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, it's a safety-driven defense. They play with three safeties. And they got a lot of guys to put in those positions. You got Latham Ransom. You got Josh Proctor. That's a name I don't know if a lot of people are familiar with, but, you know, coming in as a true freshman, he flashed a lot. He was a guy that everybody expected to be able to emerge as one of the next great safeties. He had battled some injuries. So he's been able to throw his hat in the ring to compete for that starting spot. Jahai Carter, a guy who played great at Syracuse, played in the same type of defense that Jim Knowles has brought to the Buckeyes. He's battling some injuries, so you know that's some challenges there. But there's a lot of depth at that position, so you know they look good really at across positions. Really, they look good with a lot of depth, a lot of veteran guys, a good two deep. Look at the linebacker position with Tommy Eichenberg. He still got a guy in C.J. Hicks who's a highly touted guy coming in. Everybody, Buckeyes are asking, when are we going to get this guy on the field? You can see from the press conference that there's probably going to be more of an effort to at least make sure that these younger guys, some of these guys who you know, have the talent to be able to break through and play, get on the field, gain some of that experience, and can help us this season and hopefully moving forward to the next season. And then at the offensive line position, man, I think everything's starting to round out to form for this team in terms of who's going to be the starters, who's going to be in that two deep, a lot of depth across the board. But that quarterback position, you know, a lot of people expected Day to have a decision made. I didn't. You know, I mentioned before that, you know, it's likely to leak into the season. But it goes to show that, you know, there's two guys competing at a high level. Both guys have shown enough to show that they, based on what Day is saying, both guys have shown enough to show that they can play the position. They could be the starter. So hopefully, regardless of who emerges, you know that you have two guys who actually can get behind center and get it done. So that's also a key aspect of everything here.
Yeah, and Coach Day did. I listened to the press conference, every word of it, and it was a while. Like, he stated that first. Like, first thing he stated is like, look, we still got competition at quarterback. We're really not making a decision. So essentially, as long as Coach Day was in front of the press, was for about like 45 minutes or so. You know, basically everything kind of just circled around that decision and how'd you kind of come up with it, and what does that mean? What does that mean for you, Coach, that you have two quarterbacks? And he tried to, and he did. He kept things pretty positive on basically like, hey, look, even a guy asked him, hey, most people say if you got two quarterbacks, you got no quarterback. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of had a funny spiel on, you know, if you got Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, you got two quarterbacks. And, you know, he kind of kept it light right there, but he just really wanted to kind of point out, and I think he was trying to really make an emphasis that both guys have done enough that they deserve to see some playing time. And so, you know, obviously, if you take it just 1 week back, he kind of had a kind of a different tone where he was kind of more or less reflecting on the fact that he felt that no guy had done enough to kind of separate themselves from the other guy. But obviously now, that now cap is kind of over, and we're kind of starting in, you know, we're a few days away from actual game week. You know, you want to, you know, build confidence in your guys. Hey, you did these things well. These are things you did good. These are things you did not go do so well. These are things you need to work on. And we're going to take that into the season and see how things goes. Coach David, like I say, kept in the light, just being transparent. He even went as far to say that, you know, he reached out, you know, he got into the coaches meet all the time, right? Got him to the meeting with the coaches and have everybody vote. Everybody, all the coaches there, you vote. What is your thought on who should be the starting quarterback for Ohio State this season, which is, oh, that's a little unique. And he didn't go with the results. He just said, you know, both guys received votes. And in his head, he kind of went the way he thought it would go. And due to that, it's kind of just helped him, I guess, solidify his decision that, like, we need to let these guys get into the season before we, you know, we set anything in stone.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you don't know until you go against an opposite color jersey at this point. If they're truly this close, like if the competition is this close, it's hard to really know until you get into real live game action. So, and think about how this actually plays out. I think, you know, you probably go into week two, week three of the season, playing against guys, let's be honest, playing against guys we should beat, right? That you could take a little bit of risk and be able to identify out of these two guys, who do I want to lead the charge moving forward? So you mentioned the question by Tim Million that if you have Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, then you have two quarterbacks. But the reality is, you never get a Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers if there was truly a quarterback competition, because they would never be able to develop into Tom Brady. They'd never be able to develop into Aaron Rodgers if they're not on the field being able to play. So I think when you put these two guys on the field and let them compete against other competition, you get to see, you know, what do they look like? And you also get to start projecting, okay, what can they become? Like, can Devin Brown continue to improve every week to be who we need to be down the stretch? Can Kyle McCord continue to get better and make some tweaks here and there to be who we need him to be when we go play Wisconsin on the road? You know what I'm saying? That's what you're looking for. I mean, you want to win these games early. You need a guy who can get it done now, but you need a guy who can continue to develop into the guy you need him to be when you go face Michigan at Michigan, right? So that's you know, I don't envy Day and making the decision, but that's the decision that has to be made. You have to make a decision for now, who can win games now, and who can become who you need him to become to give you the best chance to win down the road.
Right. And this, whenever there's a situation like this, obviously this there's some minuses to it, but there's always some positive to it as well, right? So going into this, you know, we don't have to, and this is more of an internet thing or a media thing, you know, just really dive in and pick and critique, you know, whoever was named the starter. So, example, let's say Commodore was named the starter, and he goes out against Indiana, and he throws, let's say he have a decent game. He goes 15-27, 225, two touchdowns, one interception. So, just like kind of a right-in-the-middle type of game. Right. And then what's going to happen the first day, you know, right after the game, the questions are going to start just spewing in. We need to see Devin Brown. We got to pit Devin Brown out there. We need to see what we have in him before we lose him type of deal. So, you know, doing it this way, I feel like there's a lot of positive, especially, you know, be honest, with the way college football is now. You know, a guy gets upset, he don't feel like he got a fair shake. He's in the transfer portal right away. And if both guys, once again, has not put away from the other, why not? Get on to the season and let's do this a little bit more. Do it on the bright lights, on some Saturdays, and let's see what we truly have in these guys. And I feel like, you know, obviously this is a decision Coach Day made. As we know, as great as C.J. Stroud was, there was a lot of rumbling behind him when he first started. Should we see the next guy? We might want to see the next guy because he's
Common Core.
Yeah, we want Common Core, and at least throw him out there. And you know, that's kind of that's just how things go. So we're gonna get to see both guys in the bright lights, and we'll see how the team plays from there. But a thing that me and you was talking about that we've been talking about, you know, even though that the competition is going into the season, we feel that, you know, this Ohio State team is really set up to play a different style of ball than we've been seeing the last couple of years out of Ohio State and a Ryan Day's offense, where, you know, big pass plays all over the field, this explosion. Basically, you could just count the team scoring against lesser opponents, 60, 70 points, a good opponents, 25, you know, 30 points, you know, and that's kind of what we've been seeing. But as we were speaking, that we just feel that in general, this team needs to play a little bit different with playing behind running the ball, behind their offensive line, and just kind of built in that. So what's your thoughts on that, on, you know, not having the guy, you know, what should we be looking for there?
Yeah, and I think it becomes interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out because Ryan Day is a quarterback coach, right? He's the quarterback guru. I'll call him the quarterback guru. I don't know if anybody else calls him that. And then you have an offensive coordinator, a guy who we played with, Brian Hartline, who was a receiver, right? And you have a ton of talented receivers. Start from the top and go all the way to the bottom of the depth chart. I don't know what walk-ons they got, but I'm pretty sure those guys can play too. However, when you look at the way the team is built, you look at the depth at running back, you got the fact that you got two quarterbacks coming into it and you want them to kind of gradually improve to become who you want to become over, you know, over the time of the year. You have a defense that should be a veteran defense, right? Guys who emerged last year are back this year. Eichenberg, Lathan Ransom. You got guys like Josh Proctor, who I feel like have been here you know, since 2012 at this point, right? But so, I mean, you just have a lot of depth in the, and you got to play to your strengths, I think. And I think offensively, being able to lean on the run would be a big help. Regardless of how all the talent you have a receiver, if you can lean on the run and establish your identity there and be able to control the line of scrimmage, I think that approach throughout the season puts you in a good position. One thing about having a CJ Stroud level quarterback and all the explosive plays and all the great receivers on the outside, and sometimes that covers up a lot of mistakes. And right, it's human nature sometimes to, you know, win 65-30 and think, oh yeah, we just blew this team out. Well, you gave them 30 points. You know what I'm saying? You gave them 30 points doing it. And you know, I'm thinking back to when I played, like, we'd never, you know, you can't score more than 17 points on this, or it's a bad game. It's a horrible game. I don't care how much we beat the team by. You score more than 17 points. We did not put ourselves in a position defensively to go win that game. And that's the mentality and mindset that needs to be carried from day one all the way. And then if one of those quarterbacks emerge, one of those quarterbacks become, you know, the guy that you hope they can become midway through the season, then that's just the icing on the cake. And now we know we have the guys defensively, offensively. We could beat you running the ball. We could beat you hard-nosed football, and we could take you up top. And that's that's the type of team that could, will be well positioned to go win it all.
Yeah, yeah, and I agree. And so, yeah, so, you know, there's no secret. Our offensive tackles are inexperienced. Let's put, you know, let's play. We said that coming out of competition, that means that, you know, we didn't know who the guys were at the start of the season. We have a transfer coming in. We have a guy at right tackle who's basically played a decent amount of ball, but, you know, he's never was that guy on a week-to-week basis. And now we're talking about quarterbacks who essentially go into the season. We just still don't know who those guys are. When we start talking about our running back room, we know who these guys are. We know Trevion Henderson. We know Mayan Williams. We've seen the things that Dylan Hayden could do as a true freshman coming in once those guys get nicked up. We've seen the explosive type of player Evan Pryor has been before having an injury. We've seen Chip go out there and just get some tough yards in a very tough situation when everyone knows that they're running the ball. So it's to me, that's what you do. As an offensive lineman who's been there, came in as a position, starting position from competition, played with quarterbacks with less experience, you run the ball. That's what makes everything easier for the whole program and for the whole spiel. You just run the ball. You be dominant up front. You let your offensive tackles get settled into games. You help your quarterbacks out by running the ball to the fact that they have to put extra guys in the boxes, and everything as an offense is just easier from there. So that's what I expect to see out this offense. That's what I want to see out this offense. And then obviously, you know, when we get those chances, we got some monsters on the outside that we always could take a shot with when you start talking about Marcin Harrison and Emeka on the outside and, you know, all the things that they could do. But to me, if you want to be good, if you want to be playing in January now, right, in the playoffs and in that national championship competition, you run the ball first. You figure out what you have there. You get really good at it. You start to run the ball in any situation. Know you better get there, dominate in the trenches, and that's just going to open up everything else. And then once again on that defense, everybody always joke about us. You know, we start talking about trestle ball, right? Yeah. And how trestle ball was so boring, man. You guys ran the same three or four plays as an offense and things of that nature. And, you know, we had a lot of talented guys, but we could have been doing this. We should have been maybe doing these things to, you know, that's how the times was kind of turning. But once again, once we got up by 20 points at Ohio State,
is it?
There was no worry that this team is coming back. Is it, with our defense, the way those guys played, their mentality, we up by 20. We could just run this clock out because there's no way these guys gonna get 20 points in general, let alone we're up by 20. So we felt very confident as taking the air out of the ball in those situations and just kind of running the clock out because we knew what we had on the other side of the ball. We knew who those guys were. And we felt if the game pace has changed and we had to score more points to be in the game, yeah, that's let's go. Let's try to do it. Let's go now. But we knew what our defense was gonna be week in and week out. That silver bullet defense that was going to be very stingy about giving up a first down. You give a big play, someone is going to throw, someone's going to blow a gasket. You give up a big play. So we understood that as a team. When Tressel spoke to us as a team, this is what we focus on. We're going to be a mistake-free, opportunistic offense. That's what he always used to say. Yeah. Let's not lose it on offensive side of the ball because we know our defense is going to go out here and keep us in it. So, you know, that's what our spew was on things, and that's how we thought about it. And I feel like this team needs a little bit of that page, right? A little bit of that page of we play in the trenches, we play great defense, and we win games in that manner.
Yeah, let me take you through our mindset defensively when we play. So I remember we played Penn State at home. I think it may have been 2009 or something. It was the game where it was rainy. It was like 10-7 most of the game or something crazy. We had the game won. Terrell, we had it. To execute the quarterback sneak and Terrell fumbled the ball. It's crazy because, you know, we had that fumble and that ultimately, you know, led to them being able to win the game. But that whole week, my mindset was, you know, there was a play where there was a miscommunication between me and Kirk Coleman and we gave up like a 25-yard pass or something. Mm. And to me, that lost us the game. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, and it didn't, you know, if you think about it, you know what I'm saying? The whole game, that 25-yard pass in like the third quarter, it wasn't, you know what I'm saying? Like that wasn't that big of a deal. But I remember that play to this day. And to me, if you say the Penn State game, I'm thinking like, dang, that's when we had that miscommunication. We gave 25 yards and that lost this game. Like that's how I was wired. And it's And but the thing about it, the reason I bring it up is because we would never have that miscommunication again for the rest of that season. You know what I'm saying? Because
right.
That, to me, that was such, that's such a big mistake that it would never happen again. Right? Either the coaches would never, would make sure we're never in that situation again. And if we were in that situation again, there's no way we would have the miscommunication. And if it was close, I'm calling out Kurt's name and saying, hey, you stay with him, I'm staying with this guy, and it will never happen again. I remember when we played, they played Toledo last year, early in the year, there was a deep pass, the first touchdown Toledo had, it went across, yeah. Going like a cover two, the safety on the backside didn't get enough depth and to help out the corner. And then when you go against the Georgia, and you saw the receiver get on Eichenberg down the chute, and if that safety, backside safety got depth, then he would have been able to break up that pass as well. The only reason I bring that up is because it's that type of detail of remembering, like, okay, this happened to us early in the year. Mm-hmm. How do we eliminate this type of play throughout the year? It may not look, it may not come at us the same way or whatever, but, you know, a veteran defense is able to identify, okay, how did we mess up? What are our mistakes? What could have been a mistake? It may not have even been a big play, but yeah. What could have been a mistake, and how do we address it now so that it never happens again? And I think, you know, the defense, we talked about the depth. You had a lot of guys back. You have a veteran defense. I mean, this is the year two of Jim Knowles' scheme, and also guys who have been in the program for at least a couple years, understand the defense, have the talent, right? It's bigger than coaching at this point. It's right. Being able to be connected and have the level of competition that says we don't give up nothing. We're not giving up anything. And I think, you know, that mentality from day one, you know, they talked about them focusing on fighting and competing in those things, which I think is
situational. Winning situations.
And winning the situation. And being able, as a defense, to have the connectivity. You know, that's I remember we talked about it a few podcasts ago, and I was like, how come some of these teams that have really high-powered offenses don't necessarily have the same level of – they can never match it on defense. Mm-hmm. And I think what happens is when you score a lot of points and you cover up a lot of stuff, defenders don't take it – like some of these small things that happen, they don't take it as personal. They don't – you know what I'm saying? And right. I think that has to change this year. I think their approach and the way I'm seeing them being coached, the way they're talking about it, I think it is being something that's being harped on this year. But they have to be a stingy defense, and they have to be a defense that is very connected, and they understand. I know what the linebacker is doing as a corner. He knows what I'm doing, and mm-hmm. we're not giving up anything. And I think, you know, if they play like that this year, I think we see the silver bullets that we want to see and that we've been proud of as former Buckeyes.
Yeah, and then once again, that's in our mind. We get into the season, and once again, Coach Day had his press conference, and he said, our quarterbacks, we got two of them. They're both good enough to play. Now that we have got to that decision, that's what we're doing as a unit. This is what we feel needs to happen so we can still have that successful year that we all been looking for and planning for, once again, to be always in the playoffs, beat Michigan, win that national championship. So we also wanted to shout out that it was announced that the teams had selected their captains, and we talk about guys that have been in the program for a while. That's all we have here. We have Tommy Eckenberg, Kay Stover, Xavier Johnson, guys that's been in the program 4 or 5 years, all going into their senior year. They was named the captains of the team. First time in a while that we have three captains. We used to kind of name it out about six actually over the last handful of years. But Coach Day spoke to that and said, this is what we're doing. The older guys in the building that know this program and been here the longest, they're going to lead the team. And also Xavier Johnson was named the Black O player. So usually sometimes they switch the number to zero. I don't know if he's actually doing that or not, but that basically means that's the guy that we want to build. He's the guy that has made the grit, the toughness, made the sacrifices for the team over the years that we want to kind of highlight. So kudos to those guys coming over to the captain's table to lead this team, our 2023-2024 Buckeye. So good luck to those guys and good luck to the season. Obviously, like I said, we're about 12 days away from kickoff. So essentially this week, I'm sure the guys will get a little bit of rest. And then come Monday, it'll be game week. So, yeah. So looking forward to it. So once again, want to shout out our sponsors at Bet Online. This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Browning and Chimby Chekwa. And we'll catch you guys next time.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. OH.
Ayo.